Romans chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I want you to notice that phrase in verse number 5 that says, hope maketh not ashamed. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, is that thought, hope maketh not ashamed. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our time? Would you help us this morning from your word? Help us to see this truth. And I pray, God, that you can give me clarity of thought and speech, and help me, God, to explain this well, what I know is written in your word. And I pray that it will encourage us and challenge us in this area, this truth today. Now, Lord, last week we were online, and yet you still worked on hearts, and we know of two that were saved throughout the day. So, Lord, that encourages my heart to know that you can work on hearts even as folks are sitting on their couch or at their table or wherever they may be. I pray for the men in our church family this morning. I pray that every man would sit up and perk up and be the example for their wife and kids that they need right now at this moment during preaching time. And God, I pray that you'll help us, help our families this morning from this truth. And we'll thank you for what you'll do. And we'll ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Before a lost person gets born again, I want you to notice from Scripture two descriptions of their life. Mark your place there in Romans chapter 5, and turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. All right, the Bible tells us about a lost person, number 1, that he has no hope whatsoever. In Ephesians chapter number 2 and in verse number 12, the Bible says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. All right, so turn to Romans chapter number 6 now. Romans chapter number 6. So a lost person, and you and I before we were saved, a lost person, the Bible says, is without hope in this world, because they're without God. They're without Christ as their Savior. So a lost person today has no hope. Could you imagine for just a minute being a lost person in this world that is on fire today? Could you imagine being lost and not having the hope of eternal life? But a lost person has no hope. Secondly, another description of a lost person that I want you to see out of Romans chapter number 6 is that a lost person, and all of us in our lost condition, did things that we now regret. And a lost person is doing things that they regret. They live in shame. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the ends of those things is death. And so lost people, two descriptions. One, they have no hope. Two, they do things and make choices and make decisions they're ashamed of. That's what we did before we got saved. That's what lost people are doing still today. Now back to our text in Romans chapter number 5. In Romans chapter number 5, one of the blessings of getting born again is that it does bring true hope to your life. Look at verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you happen to be watching the video this morning, or perhaps at some other time, can I say to you that peace with God is not found in church attendance. It's not found in giving an offering to a church or a ministry. Peace with God is not found because God brought you through a car wreck, or he brought you through a surgery. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And our scripture just told us that the way to have peace with God is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Once we've experienced peace, peace with God rather in our life, we can experience the peace of God. That is the hope that the Bible speaks of. So it goes on to say there, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And notice here in chapter 5 and verse 2, and rejoice. Brother Trent preached about rejoicing the other day. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now I want to say by way of introduction that no matter what's going on in our life today, you and I have, as Christians, have several reasons to have hope. First of all, we as Christians certainly have hope because of our salvation. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We as Christians today have hope because we know that we're saved and that we've been born again. Secondly, we have hope today because of our eternal security and knowing that no matter what happens in my life today, I'm still saved and on my way to heaven. The Bible calls it that blessed hope. The Bible says in Titus 1 in verse 2 about Christians, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So God promised us eternal life. He says those that have believed in Christ have everlasting life. Not gonna hope they get everlasting life, not endure to the end and you get everlasting life, but the moment you believe, you will live forever. It's called eternal security. So we as Christians today can find hope in the fact that, hey, I'm saved. At the end of the day, I'm still saved and going to heaven. I can find hope in the fact that, hey, not only am I saved, but I cannot lose that salvation. And then also, the Bible teaches us that we as Christians have hope because of the comfort that God gives us from His Word. The Bible says in Romans 15 and verse number 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You show me a child of God that's lost hope, and I'll show you a child of God who's not been in their Bible. The Bible says that the Word of God rejoices the heart. So today I can wake up, and no matter what's going on in my life, I can have hope in my heart because I know I'm saved, because I know I'm eternally secure, because I've got a Bible I can get into and read and study and learn about the goodness of God. But then also, I can have hope today because of the fact of a soon returning Savior, the fact that Christ could come back at any moment. I say, even so, Lord, come quickly. But the Bible says in Titus 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. It calls it the blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we as Christians today, we're a lost man, the Bible says, is in this world having no hope and without God and making choices that are shameful, that they're going to be ashamed of if they ever get saved. But we as Christians have every reason to live with hope. Yet this life can sometimes give us reasons to lose hope. Now, the definition of the word hope is this: a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. You may lose hope in your marriage. You say, I have hope. I think that I've got a little bit of slight expectation it's going to get better. You may lose hope in your job. You say, I've got at least a slight expectation that that the job situation is going to get better, but then all of a sudden it doesn't, and you say, preacher, I've lost hope for my marriage, I've lost hope for my children, I've lost hope for my health, I've lost hope for my career, I've lost hope for my finances. It's easy, if we're not careful, to lose hope. Luke, you think about Luke. Luke was with Paul on the Mediterranean Sea there in Acts chapter number 27. That ship that they were on the Mediterranean Sea ran into a great storm. And that storm and the damage that was done certainly threatened to wreck that ship. Now remember, the ships in those days were like sailboats. They went according to the winds. They didn't have a motor they could crank up and go right back to their safe haven. And so they just kind of had to do what the wind did. Well, Luke was on that ship with the Apostle Paul. And I want you to think about this. That even Luke, who was such a strong enough Christian that God used him to pen the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Even Luke, that man, looked at his present day condition and he lost hope. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 20, he made this statement. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So I'm thinking, and I know we're not supposed to compare, and I know that these were not superheroes or supernatural people. They were just men used of God. But here's a man greatly used of God to pen two books of the Bible. And yet here's a man who, as a born-again Christian, was under such stressful circumstances that he lost hope. It's easy to have days and weeks in our life where we lose hope. But when we do lose hope, or when we're tempted to lose hope, if we're not careful, we're going to make bad choices that last a lifetime. We lose hope, and so we give up on the marriage. We lose hope, and so we stop praying for our kids. We lose hope, and so we walk out of the job without any form of other income. We lose hope in our life, and so we get this mindset. I've seen it over and over again in people over the years. I'm just going to quit everything. I hate my marriage. I hate my job. I'm tired of my church. We're just going to live as hermits. We're going to live in our house and we're just going to quit on everyone. That's not the way a born again Christian ought to live. We lose hope if we're not careful. We give up. We quit. We walk away. And I want you to remember this morning that a lost person with no hope makes choices that they later are ashamed of. But as a child of God with a Heavenly Father to run to, a Holy Spirit to guide us, and a Bible to encourage us, we don't have to make poor choices when we're in a valley. The key is not to lose hope. The Bible says that hope maketh not ashamed. As long as you have hope, you won't make shameful decisions. Now I want you to see, out of our text this morning in just a moment, that the very issues that cause us to lose hope, if handled correctly, will actually bring about hope in our life. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse number 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. And friend, we're not babies. We're not elementary to this. We realize this. We're going to go through trials and we're going to go through tribulations. And if we're not careful, we will let those problems rob us of our joy and the hope that God has given us. Certainly, life is full of trouble. No one's saying that. Life, we're going to have trials. We're going to have troubles. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It lines up with what Romans 5 said, that we're saved, we're justified by faith, and we have peace with God, and that inheritance in heaven is what he's saying about a moment ago. And we've got that mansion waiting on us, and other rewards waiting on us, and we've got to keep our eyes on the big picture and on eternity. It says, who are kept by the power of God. Thank God for our eternal security through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, through many temptations, many trials in your life, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see what he said there? We're all as Christians going to have the trial of our faith, the testing of our faith, and how it is how it's going to be found. And if we're constantly sitting under a juniper tree, if we're constantly talking about quitting, if we're constantly trying to throw a pity party in our life because of how bad things are, then God's going to find us that way one day. But the Bible says that even though we go through trials and valleys and temptations, that our life and our faith ought to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And since I don't know when he's coming back, I need to live every day like God is still alive. God hasn't died, and he still has control of my life. The Bible goes on to say this in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. I'm not downplaying folks' valleys and their trials and their battles, but I tell you what, it encourages my heart when I talk to Christians during the week, when I hear from church members who I know are in a valley, who I know are going through sickness, who I know are having tough times, and yet they're texting me or calling me to check on someone else in the church. Friend, listen, you're not the only one going through a valley today. You're not the only one seeing tough times today. Thank you. Not strange, the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Friend, this is not your first trial. This won't be your last trial. You're not the only one to go through battles in your life. The Bible says in Romans 8 and in verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, right smack dab in the middle of my valley, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Certainly, we face trials in life. We're not the first. We won't be the last. It's not the first in our life, and it won't be the last in our life if the Lord tarries his coming. But we need to learn what the Apostle Paul learned, and that is that he could trust in God's strength during his personal trials. He said to the church at Corinth, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Hey, you been praying for anything lately? God, I wish you would change this condition, and I wish you would change that circumstance. And friend, I'm not telling you not to pray for that. The Bible says in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. Yes, we ought to ask according to the will of God. But please understand that the Apostle Paul was basically trying to pray his way out of the valley. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, God, said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for that they, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul responds like this, most gladly therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I don't know many people. I don't know many Christians. In fact, I don't know if I know any, including myself, that can make that statement. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong? But I tell you this, Christian, let's not give up hope. We're going to go through valleys. We're going to go through trials. But let's trust in God's strength to get us through. Now, I want you to notice in our text in Romans chapter number 5, I want you to notice what our trials are meant to do. What our trials are meant to do. Number one is this. Tribulations produce patience. Tribulations produce patience. Look at, most of us say, well, tribulations, boy, they test my patience. Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to pass the course, you've got to pass the test. But what it's supposed to do is tribulation produces or teaches me to be patient in my life. Look at verse number 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. That's Paul writing to the Christians at Rome. And he said the same thing he said to the Christians at Corinth. Thank God for consistent Christians. And he said, I glory in my tribulations. I glory in my infirmities. I know things are going to be okay. I know God's doing something. I know God will bring me through. But I want you to notice the truth here. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. And don't miss this, Christian. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulations produce patience in our life. The word patience means this. It means endurance. It means steadfastness. It means perseverance. I thought about that scripture. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And I'm not putting people down, but I think that our local churches this year are going through some purging, and we're going to find out who's patient. We're going to find out who's going to hold on and who's just going to quit. We're going to find out who the dead branches are and who the branches are that say, hey, God saved me and he put me in a church, and I'm going to be faithful and keep my head up and move forward. Tribulations produce patience, endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. So trials in our life are meant to teach us how to be patient, how to persevere, how to wait on God, how to trust God, how to claim His grace, His strength, how to hold on. Yet the average Christian today faces a few trials and wants to quit everything. Can I just throw this in there? It's not in my notes. But can I just say to you, God is more impressed with you being faithful in your valleys than you getting up out of that valley, having a good day, and putting a meme out about 10 reasons why you love Jesus. If you love Jesus, gather together with His church as often as you can. If you love Jesus, be consistent and show folks that the God of the mountains is also the God of the valleys. But tribulations produce patience. Hey, the Apostle Paul had trials, but he never quits. And he said in Acts 20 to the elders at Ephesus, he said he knew he had some trials coming up. He said, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He says, it sounds like the Spirit of God's telling me I'm going to have some trouble when I get to Jerusalem. And he did, by the way. But listen to the statement that Paul made in Acts 20 and verse 24. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul learned that tribulation produces patience. He had gone through a lot of perils in his ministry, and he learned to just endure, to be steadfast, to persevere, to wait on God. See, we face a trial and we think, give up, quit, complain, cry, whine, you know, put some innuendo online. I'm just going to keep my head up high. Why do we do that to the name of God? Why don't we just stay faithful and realize that the trials that we're going through, that God is using that to produce patience in our life, to teach us to just endure, to be steadfast, to move forward, to put one foot in front of the other, to trust Him. Tribulation worketh patience. What else? Look at it there in Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Not only does tribulation produce patience, but if we'll hang on, patience produces experience. Look at verse number 3 again. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, the more trials I go through, the more I learn to wait on God, to not quit, to not give up, and patience experience, or patience worketh experience, or patience produces experience. We hang on during those tough times. We learn to wait on God, and by that we gain experience. Someone said this, if God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. You don't experience that truth by quitting during trials. We experience truths like that. If God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. We experience that kind of truth by just hanging on. Tribulation produces patience by learning we're not going to give up. We're not going to give out. We're not going to give in. We're not going to quit. We're going to wait on God and see what God does. Just learn to be patient. Learn to wait. And because of that, that patience will produce experience in your life, and you'll be able to look back and say, hey, God was good then, God will be good now. God brought me through it then, God will bring me through it now. We experience that truth of patience produces experience by being patient. While God does what God's going to do in our life, we all remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the king said, if you don't bow down to my false idol, I'll have you cast into the burning fiery furnace. And their answer, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. If you listen to me, faith says, I know that God could bring me through. I know that God could change my circumstance. I know that God could change my condition. But true faith in God says, but if not, if the rest of my life I walk through a valley, if the rest of my life things go south, I'm still saved and on my way to heaven and have a home in heaven, and God's already given me more than I deserve. So let's let tribulation and trials in our life produce patience. Just endure, just stay faithful to God, and that patience will produce experience. And here's the thought I want to get from Daniel chapter 3 is this. You know the story. In Daniel 3:24, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Friend, listen, here's the truth I want you to get from that. God did not save them from the fire, but He did walk with them through the fire. And God's not going to save us from all the fires in life, the fiery trials which are to try us. But I promise you, if you'll be patient and hang on, it'll produce the experience, the knowledge of knowing that God does walk with us through all of the fires. You don't gain that knowledge by quitting. You don't gain that type of knowledge and experience by giving up. Tribulations in our life are meant to produce patience. Learn as a Christian to wait on God. Learn as a Christian to hang on and let God work. And then being patient produces experience. Yep, God brought me through it. Then I want you to notice there in Romans chapter number 5 that experience produces hope. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The more I go through, the more I'm learning to just hang on and wait and see what God does and learn the lessons. And patience experience, and the more I've gone through and the more I've just stayed faithful and put one foot in front of the other, I've experienced how good God is and how His grace is sufficient and how He brings us through and experience hope. Number 3 there, experience produces hope. So the brand new Christian, the babe in Christ, and by the way, sometimes folks claim to be saved 30 years, but yet they're still babes in Christ. You can tell there's no growth in their life. So the babe in Christ faces trials, and immediately their answer is, think of quitting. The growing Christian faces trials and says, you know, I used to want to quit. I just need a fresh start. That's a childish, immature thing to say. I just want a fresh start in life. But the growing Christian faces trials and they say, well, I used to want to quit, but I've learned by experience that if we'll just hold on, there's a purpose for everything. God will bring us through this valley. And the mature Christian says this, I can't tell you how many times God has brought me through a valley in my life. Countless times. And I can tell you this, God is always good, and God is always right. Tribulation. We either quit and give up, or during tribulations in our life, we just put one foot in front of the other till God does what God's going to do. Tribulation produces patience. Wait on God. Stay steadfast. Stay faithful in the Word of God. Stay faithful in the prayer closet. Stay faithful to witness. Stay as faithful to church as you can. Tribulation produces patience, and patience experience. If I hang on, then I start learning that, yes, God will see me through and give me a special grace to get through this moment in my life. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Experience hope. That's why you talk to some older Christians and their mindset is always, this is going to be all right. That's why it's usually ladies in their teens and 20s that are the drama queens, and everything's falling apart and it's all bad and it's never going to work. And oh, they find the most negative thing they could share with people. But you get these aged saints of God and they stay faithful through tribulation and just learn patience and patience because they waited, they gained some experience and because of the experiences in their life, the heartaches and the hardships in their life, they live with hope and they'll say something like this, it's going to be all right, preacher. And guess what hope does? Look at verse number 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. What does a lost person do? How do they live? Without God, without hope in this world. What type of decisions do they make? Shameful decisions. What does hope do? Causes me not to make decisions I'm going to be ashamed of 5 years down the road. Do we like trials? No. Do we like valleys? No. Do we like tough times? No. Do we like it when we don't get our way? No. Do we like it when we don't get prayers answered our way? No. So, we can have a pity party and quit, or we can learn to wait on God, to trust Him with our life. We can experience His grace, His strength, over and over again, and we can know with hope that everything's going to be all right Because at the end of the day, we're still saved. We're still on our way to heaven. And today could still be the day that our Lord and Savior returns. So my challenge to you this morning is this. Don't lose hope. Why? Because hope maketh not ashamed. When you lose hope, you start making bad choices. And you'll be ashamed of the fact that you made those foolish, backslidden choices in that valley in your life. I've always said, and I've tried to practice it, don't make life-changing decisions when you're tired. Don't make life-changing decisions when you're in the valley. Don't make life-changing decisions when things are bad and negative and dark in your life. That's not the time to make life-changing decisions. You know what we need to do today? We just need to stop and think about the fact, you know what? If I watched the news all the time, I'd lose hope. I'd think, man, this world is going to hell quick. Well, guess what? We don't have to have the news to tell us that. We realize that we live in a lost world without hope and without God, and they need the Savior, but they're not going to get witnessed to, and they're not going to get ministered to if we have a bunch of quitting, thumb-sucking Christians. You say, preacher, that's harsh. Well, hey, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Friend, listen to me. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know this, that the Bible gives us every reason in the world to rejoice, as Brother Trent preached Wednesday night. The Bible gives us every reason in the world to have hope and live every day with hope. But I tell you what, the world gives us every reason to give up hope. I want to say as a Christian, don't give up. Because we let the tribulation and the trials cause us to lose hope. And God says, I'm bringing those in your life to allow you to be a more hopeful person. Tribulation produces patience. Just hang on in that valley you're in. Just hang on. Patience produces experience. You'll look back and say, well, we thought we weren't going to make it through last time. But look what God does and what God did. And then experience hope. And you're one of those Christians that just say, I don't like it. It's heartbreaking. You might shed a tear. You might get a little discouraged from time to time. But because you held on through the rough times, you gained that experience that God is always good. God's always right. And it gave you a hope in your life. And you know, hey, everything is going to be okay. And boy, when you live with that hope, hope maketh not ashamed. You live with that hope, then you don't make choices that you'll look up one day and be ashamed of. Hey, I hope today you know the Lord is your Savior. I hope beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know if you died right now that you'd go to heaven. If not, I pray that right there at your seat, I hope someone's with you maybe. You can take your Bible, take the gospel track, read a gospel track, but get that thing settled. If you're watching today, if you're watching down the road, you need to talk to me. Call our church office and let's talk about your salvation. I want you to know for sure that you're saved. Hey, Christian, sometimes, even when we think we need a pat on the back, what we really need, I know in my life, sometimes I think, well, I just need a hug. What I really need is just a kick in the seat of my pants and say, hey, God's just as good today as He was yesterday. And that's kind of a goal that I had this morning is for all of us as a church family. Hey, let's just keep moving forward. Let's keep moving forward for God in His timing and in His way. I know things are rough in a lot of homes right now. I know a lot of folks don't feel well. Don't make hasty decisions when you don't feel well. Don't let the devil get the victory in your life. But hey, let's not waste this either. Let's learn. Then we go through tribulations. God's trying to just teach us, put one foot in front of the other and let me have control of this situation. And if you'll do that long enough, patience worketh experience. And then it's not just saying, well, I hope we make it. It's like, we're going to make it because we made it last time. And experience hope. And the more experiences you go through, the more hopeful you are. And that's why the saint of God that has lived decades and gone through so many losses and trials and valleys, they'll say, hey, it's all going to be okay. And that's why you take a 20-something and they say, oh, we don't know. We just, what are we going to do? I'm not pouring salt on a wound. That's just part of life for some people. Some people are less dramatic, to be honest with you. But we learn as we grow in the Lord. But we don't learn and grow if we quit. Stay faithful to God. And just remember, hope maketh not ashamed.